AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
We're really well positioned to identify and understand firsthand, because we've walked in those shoes, like what does industry need and how can BioCrossroads help fill those. And so I think you're going to see over the next 90, 120 days, you know, that kind of manifestation of what are we going to really bring to life these four pillars.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. The connection between human health and ag bioscience is one that has become undeniable and one uniquely to Indiana. Joining us today is a veteran of the life sciences industry, leading a new organization for him, an organization that has shaped Indiana's economy for well over a decade. Welcome, Vince Wong, CEO of BioCrossroads to Ag Bioscience. Vince, welcome.
Thanks, Mitch. Great to be here.
It is good to have you here. There is so much work at this intersection between plant health, animal health, and human health, something you and I have talked a great deal about. Before we jump into what's ahead, we have to hear who is BioCrossroads, what it does, and how are you thinking about this next chapter of connection between human health and animal health and plant science?
BioCrossroads has been an organization around for 20 years now, formed by Central Indiana Corporate Partnership. Really a visionary idea to create a consortium, bring all the stakeholders together of industry, academia, public sector, stakeholders together to do what Indiana does best. We collaborate. And by collaboration and partnership allows us to punch above our weight. So through BioCrossroads and having all those key stakeholders at the table, BioCrossroads over time has really helped build some significant assets to advance life sciences. And actually, Agrinovis came out of BioCrossroads many years ago. It also created the Indiana Bioscience Research Institute, which is downstairs here at 16 Tech, and has created Analytics IN as well. And also done a lot of research to help shine a light on all the amazing assets of life science here in Indiana. Going forward, we're really excited. We released a new strategy back in January that I think we'll be talking about a little later that defines four pillars that will really guide not only BioCrossroads efforts, but also it really brought together all the stakeholders to define, like, what are we going to do together? How do we paint that picture and make sure that we maintain and even extend Indiana's leadership with regard to bioscience and life sciences?
Vince, you have stepped into this role, started at a running pace and continued to quicken. Part of that is because of your background and the work that you've done. You're a lawyer. You have an MBA. You've had an amazing career across big companies, small company. Share a little bit more about the journey and really how you see this next chapter shaping up under your leadership.
I definitely have had a very unconventional journey. I'm a recovered lawyer, as you mentioned. And then went on to spend the last 23 years of my career on the business side. And I've had a really wonderful career of diverse experiences. Spent 17 years in a large company at Roche Diagnostics, the world's leader in diagnostics, such a significant presence here in Indiana. I was really blessed with a very diverse journey there, you know, really having tours of duty across, you know, almost every functional area outside the technical track. And then spent the last 3 years helping build a startup out of St. Louis. And what really inspired me about BioCrossroads was gave me an opportunity to really leverage that big company experience, that startup experience. But I also saw how enabling BioCrossroads-like entities were for the startup I was with. We received our first initial funding from a seed fund that was generated by a kind of BioCrossroads analog in St. Louis called BioSTL. We were incubated in the Cortex, which is kind of the analog to IBRI here downstairs. The IP diligence that for our Series C funding was done by a kind of analog of BioCrossroads there. And so just a number of different enabling catalysts that BioCrossroads type of entities really helped at the startup I was at really was revelatory to me about like what role and how enabling we could play for the startups in this ecosystem.
Well, it's creating that advantage, right? How do you predispose success? And I think there's a lot of opportunity for you and I to work together You just launched a new life sciences strategy you mentioned earlier back in January before you yeah, started. So
right.
Congratulations on the new strategy. What's in it? How do you see the worlds connecting here?
You know, I think the strategy, I can't take any credit for it around the four pillars that have been identified. One, the first strategy is how do we enable and catalyze R&D and innovation here in Indiana? Indiana is number 19 in the world with regard to patenting activity. Not just the United States, in the world.
It's incredible.
Incredible, right? Purdue University is number four in the country with regard to universities' patenting activity. So we don't lack for good invention and discovery here in Indiana. What we lack is really that translation of invention from the lab to the patient, which in my estimation is one of the hardest things to do in business, especially in life sciences, which is highly, highly regulated. There's just existential threats at every corner for a startup to really endeavor that journey. And so anything we can do to help enable and increase the batting average of life science startups here is meaningful, not only for Indiana, but for patients at the end of the day. Second pillar beyond R&D and innovation is how do we expand our manufacturing footprint and capacity here in Indiana? What does Indiana do well beyond R&D and innovation? We build things. And so the pandemic really unveiled the frailty of the life science supply chain and has shined a light on the need to reshore a lot of capabilities that were sent overseas. So there's a real focus both at the federal government level, but also at the industry level to bring those capabilities back to the United States, which then presents Indiana a great opportunity to really leverage its manufacturing legacy and strengths and assets to take advantage of that need. So that's the second pillar. Third pillar is talent and workforce. So to drive this R&D and innovation, to drive this manufacturing growth, how do we foster a really strong pipeline and enable a brain gain and reverse the brain drain? And we do a great job of educating and building up human capital here in Indiana. How do we keep that? And then how do we attract talent from other places around the world, frankly, to enable the growth here? The last piece is how do we enable collaboration across all the different stakeholders and make sure that we're all singing off the same song sheet, and then also elevate Indiana's profile. We are like the best kept secret in life sciences.
No longer, Vince. Number one ag tech podcast in the world. Here we go. Now you have a platform to share this bold
vision. That's why I'm here, Mitch. That's why I'm here.
I love it. The four pillars make a ton of sense, particularly as you look at the balance sheet that is Indiana. Most valuable human pharma company in Eli Lilly. We have the second largest independent animal health company in Elanco. Largest pure play ag company with our friends at Corteva. But as you make that connection into human health, nation's largest medical school at Indiana University. We have the nation's second largest health insurer in Elevance. As you look at this balance sheet that is Indiana life sciences, Indiana ag biosciences focused on health, what do you see? What is really the difference maker as you look here at Indiana?
To your point, it was like, if you look at across the entire value chain that impacts human health, we have like the leader of each of those cogs in that value chain, right? And so how do we make sure that we're maximizing that unique collection of assets together? So, you know, that's why BioCrossroads and Agronovis exist, right? Is to make sure that we're all together on the same page and working together. And then from a biology perspective, we're increasing understanding the impact of what we consume and on our health, right? And there's microbiome research has been going on for a long time. But I think we're now, because of advancements in technology, including the company that I was with the last 3 years, we're looking at RNA transcripts in the micro that came out of the microbiome lab at WashU. There is a increased understanding of the ability to understand what's going on in the gut and how that impacts larger health for both animals and humans, frankly.
We've done a lot of work with our friends at Biomedit, a spin out of Elanco, funded in part by Ginkgo Bioworks. We'll link to that down in the show notes, and we'll dig into how all these things are coming together in partnership with the federal government. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help. with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of health care has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Vince Wong, CEO of BioCrossroads. Vince, we were just talking about this idea of plant, animal, human, life sciences, innovation coming together. And we just saw this, the federal government, the U.S. Department of Commerce, named 31 geographies, 31 really metro areas, federal tech hubs. Indianapolis was one of the tech hubs designated specifically for biotech, an area that you and I care deeply about. As you look at this, the tech hub designation, what does it actually mean? And we just put together the application for funding, and I know we can't get into the details, but maybe scratch the surface of what's possible in this next chapter.
So fundamentally, I think what's possible is addressing several of the pillars we talked about earlier, right? So how do we stand up resources to support this R&D innovation ecosystem? And how do we put enabling assets in place with the support of the federal government and with matching dollars from the private sector and philanthropic sector as well, and make 1 + 1 = 5? And so that's where we think there's real opportunity. The second is around workforce development,
for sure,
right? Is how do we make sure that we've got the right workforce to meet the moment? Right now, we have estimated between 2,200 and 3,700 life science manufacturing jobs that need to be filled every year for the next 5 years.
Wow.
Where are those people going to come from? Net new jobs.
Wow.
And so, you know, we don't right now have a clear line of sight to that funnel of talent. And so how do we make sure that we're putting in place the mechanisms and the on-ramps for both early in career folks, but also people that have experience as well to get the skills necessary to meet the needs of the life science ecosystem here?
It is wild when you begin to dig into workforce. I was talking with some folks yesterday, and this idea of supply and demand is a very basic premise, but it's really hard, right? So we typically look at workforce and we talk about the supply. Do we have enough people? Do we have the right kinds of skills? Rarely do we actually go to demand. And what I love about your position and what you're focused on is let's go define the demand. Let's define what's actually going to happen, what we actually need.
Yeah.
And then we can go to supply providers and say, okay, Ivy Tech, Purdue,
right,
IU, Notre Dame, whomever, how do we create the funnels that actually achieve these outcomes that the economy needs?
I think that's taking that quote unquote market facing or customer facing approach towards education, workforce development is super critical. If you look at where that model works really well, so hats off to the Fairbanks Foundation, that's really investing in Indiana, considering adopting kind of Swiss-based apprenticeship programs. Successful programs like that, that are systemic, well-established, and successful, start with what are the underlying needs of the employers, right? And that real strong partnership between employers and educators to make sure that that curriculum is up to date, relevant, and it will, at the end of the day, produce folks that are going to be productive in the workforce.
I think it's incredible. Now, Vince, I want to zoom out here just a bit. You have led in a number of different organizations. We've talked about Roche. We've talked about a startup. You've been in legal. You've been in business. I think so many folks that are in their journey of a career are finding things out or learning things. As you've led in multiple geographies, you've led in multiple roles. What are some of those lessons learned? As we have everyone from students to senior executives, from policymakers to government leaders listening, what are some of those lessons that you can share and that you're bringing to the team now at BioCrossroads?
I think in early my career, I was driving a lot of change, but trying to drive a lot of change and running up the hill. And you look back and it's like, who's following? Mm-hmm. And I had several experiences in my early in my career where I didn't build on the relationship. I didn't build the relationships before I tried to drive change. And I think that's super critical, is that at the end of the day, it's about winning not only minds, but also winning hearts. And so, you know, my legal training was great, and I tend to be kind of an analytical person, but what I didn't fully appreciate early in my career was people make decisions not only with their head, but also with their heart. And so how do you bring your whole self, tap into, bring your authentic full self to work and as a leader, and show up and be vulnerable and build relationships with people and create that followership, then makes change and change leadership much more effective and impactful. I think a lot of people don't bring their full selves to work. They have a work self and they've got a non-work self, and they close themselves off. So I got some really sage advice from one of my mentors, Rod Cotton, who just called me out on that. It's like, Vince, I see you, you know, trying to drive a lot of change. Here's how you might be more effective, right? And so it wasn't a light switch for me. It was a process, because it was, not to be too Freudian, but there's a lot in terms of how I was raised and my upbringing and a lot of factors that shaped kind of my underlying persona. And then, so how do I evolve that over time? That was definitely a journey for me. So number one, how to bring authenticity and your whole self to work. The second is know your weaknesses.
That's a super hard one, isn't it?
Yeah. And just embrace them, and then surround yourself with people that can complement you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And too many people, I think, try to surround themselves with people like them, and you get over-indexed on one
Absolutely.
Thing or the other. And just have the humility of like understanding, I'm not great at X, Y, or Z, and I need folks that can, you know, supplement and complement. And so, again, how do you become a powerful team? Like Indiana State of basketball, I'm a huge basketball fan. You don't want a team of five guards. You want a team of five centers,
right?
It's that special mix of talents and capabilities and dimensions that creates winning teams. So those are a couple of things that I've definitely learned, and in some ways the hard way.
Yeah, of course.
But that's been on my journey.
One thing, I was listening to a book on the way in this morning, right before we met in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful because I've never heard it this clear before. They talked about the difference between victory and winning. So winning, right? It's the guy who goes into battle with a team. He comes back by himself, or she comes back by herself, and they're the only one left, but they won. Victory is the same group goes into battle. The same group comes home. Not only did they win, but everybody came home.
Yeah.
And the difference between victory and winning,
yeah,
victory
that.
Is with team. Winning can be individual. I thought it was so profound.
Mm-hmm.
And so fitting for today's conversation. Vince, we're about out of time. Maybe last question for you. What's ahead for BioCrossroads, and what can listeners do to engage with you, engage with the team, be a part of the change that's coming?
We have our four pillars. And the reason why I felt comfortable coming into this role, even with the strategy defined before I joined, was it's defined at a level where it's broad enough, where, well, specific enough where it's directionally clear, but also broad enough where it gives me flexibility and latitude to, you know, flex my creative muscle and put my fingerprints on that with the team. And so the next part of our journey is really, you know, identifying how we're going to stand up programmatic efforts to enable these four pillars. I think BioCrossroads in the past has played a role of like defining like what everyone else should be doing and not having as many programmatic things. And I think going forward, my nature is that we're going to actually, because I come from ministry, I'm pretty well, and the team that we have is a deep industry experience as well. We're really well positioned to identify and understand firsthand, because we've walked in those shoes, like what does industry need and how can BioCrossroads help fill those? And so I think you're going to see over the next 90-120 days, you know, that kind of manifestation of what are we going to really bring to life these four pillars.
I look forward to working with you. He is Vince Wong, CEO of BioCrossroads. Vince, thanks so much for spending time with us on Ag Bioscience.
Great to be here.
Thank you for tuning in to Ag Bioscience. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.